My guy.
How we doing?
What's up, brother?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just having a lazy day off today.
Hey, but there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know what those are.
I know you don't.
I would really love a lazy day off. but it's all good. It's all good. Monday night. Hey, we're doing a Monday night recording. How about that?
We are. I know. I had a schedule.
I like it. I like it.
Maybe we can work up to getting it next night, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we'll see.
My note taking isn't that fast.
you do a lot of detail in the note taking, so I get what you're talking about. But you do a great job, and it helps the podcast and what you do.
Hey, thanks. That's what I try. But let me start off by welcoming you all to Unscripted Violence. It's me, Stagger Lee, and J Dog, Jason. This Dynamite, I don't want to say it was disappointing, but...
Well, before we get in, do you want to go to the news first?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I got some news about that first. Well, let's talk about first. 500, did you hear about that?
I did not.
So every year they rank their top 500 wrestlers.
Right.
I'll give you a guess who number one was.
Jeez, who is number one? I should know this. I don't really follow PWI.
I don't think you'll get it right.
Is it Roman Reigns?
It is Roman Reigns. It's Roman yeah. Reigns. Roman Reigns is number one. Okada was number two. CM Punk was three. Hangman was four.
Hangman was four?
Yeah, well, you got to think the rankings go from, like, I forget when the cutoff was. So he was champion for a lot of, for part of that time.
Okay. And then, I'd like to know their basis on all these rankings.
I forget the timeline because, like, Punk was only out a month from the rankings. So I think it's, like, I want to say it's from June to June. Don't quote me. I could be wrong because their issues come out later than what they say or whatever. But yeah. Lashley was five. Cody Rhodes was six. Then there were some other weird Japanese wrestlers. And then, Matt Cardona was 11. He's done a lot of good shit. He's been NWA world champion, GCW champion. He's been hitting the indies pretty hard. I think he should have been higher, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just watched him on. Oh, you got to watch it too. It's TNT versus GCW, and it was.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
So you can watch it.
All right, bet. 12 was Moxley. And then I forget some other numbers, but I know like Omega was like 18 or 19th, and then I think Cole was 19th or 20th, and then that kind of rounds out the top 20. But
really, they seem to be shilling a little bit to WWE. It seems like.
Well, I mean, kinda, not really. I mean, Roman's been dominant. Say what you want, but I mean, he's been champion for like 2 years. I mean, I get it.
Only because he's been booked that way. I still don't see it like. Ever since he turned heel, yeah, it was interesting at first.
Have you watched a lot of his matches? He's had some great matches.
To be honest, I haven't. I haven't watched WWE since.
And I know whenever I told you when I went to SummerSlam and I was like, hey, the main event's going to be Reigns and Lesnar, you were like, oh, my God. But that match was actually really fucking good.
Well, I just thought, again, you know.
It was really good. Did you hear who they're going to have their Saudi show coming up? Did you hear who his opponent's going to be?
Oh, geez, it's going to be somebody ridiculous, isn't it?
It's not a full-time wrestler.
Is it The Rock?
No, it's Logan Paul.
Who?
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul?
Yeah, the YouTuber that fought at SummerSlam and had his good match. He's like has like a million followers on TikTok.
Oh, I'm out of touch, man. I don't know who Logan Paul is.
Wow, you're missing out. The dude's actually really good in the ring, but they had like a press conference and all the whole nine yards. I guess the Saudi government's really happy because they like stars. Yeah, he's like some big YouTube. The kids like him, I'll just say that. But
is he a wrestler and a YouTuber at the same time?
Well, he's a YouTuber who took on to wrestling, and he's actually really good, bro. Like whenever celebrities come into wrestling, you're kind of like, oh, okay. Like he fought The Miz at SummerSlam, and he did an Eddie Guerrero frog splash from the top rope onto the announce table, and it was fucking amazing.
You know who impressed me was Arquette with this wrestling. He's not bad. Okay. He is not bad.
Okay, we're not going down that road right now. Anyway.
Well, I like the fact that Nick Gage fucking killed him, but.
Yeah, I mean that documentary was really good, but that's another story for another day.
Some of his wrestling in it was really good. Okay. I gotta admit.
No, I don't have to admit. Anyway, let's go on to another story. The scrum that will never cease to amaze me, and I learned a lot about.
That will never die. It seems like
I've done a lot of digging, and and it's not my job, and I've actually learned a lot from some other podcasts and some things like that. AEW does contracts really different for some of their wrestlers. So like Jericho, I know Jericho has this in his contract. The Young Bucks, Omega, CM Punk, I'm pretty sure got it as well. Besides being a independent contractor, they're also an employee of AEW.
Yeah. So like, I knew that. Yeah.
But they only do it for certain people. So.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for everybody.
No, it's only for certain people. So what I heard was, there's a Wade, it's not Wade Keller, but it's on his like site. There's a podcast that they do every Tuesday. It's like the longest running AEW podcast. It's like Brandon McManus and somebody else. They do a really great job.
No, yeah, if it has to do with him,
Wade Keller's not on it. That. Wade Keller has nothing to do with it. It's
It's on the same network. I know who they are, and I stopped listening to them a long time ago. They just they don't talk about the matches, nothing. They
talk more about the business side and some other stuff, which interests me. Does you? I get that, but. One thing he was talking about.
Wrestling.
one of the parts he was talking about was the reason we haven't heard any firings is if you're going to fire CM Punk for the fight, you got to fire the Young Bucks too and Omega.
Yeah, you got to fire them all.
So now if you want to fire Punk for like insubordination in the scrum, then okay. But also, I reported last week and there's other reports out there that Tony Khan kind of knew what CM Punk was going to do. So you really can't fire him for that. But another thing that came out, and I'm going to say I'm with Punk on this, and I know I'm a Punk homer. I get it. Maybe he didn't come about it the right way, but Malakai Black gave like a long, like three-page, it was either Instagram or Twitter post about how he was upset that information between him and AEW management has been leaked. And last week there was a talent meeting. And you know who wasn't there? The Young Bucks. You know how much information was released about that meeting? None. Is it coincidence? I don't know. Is it?
That's very it's very telling, I think.
Well, and when Punk came to AEW, he said the reason he came there was when Brody Lee was dying and going through his thing, nobody was leaking information about it, and that's what he wanted to be a part of.
I'll tell you one thing, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but AEW doesn't need the Young Bucks.
They don't, really.
The Young Bucks need AEW.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, because apparently when they sent feelers out, there wasn't really a lot of, we'll take you. We want you. So that was very telling. And, another thing that was really funny, I saw this conspiracy. I love conspiracy theories. I'm game for a conspiracy theory because I just like to see how people think. But there was one person, I forget who they are. I wish I remember who they were, but they posted something and they were like, from my sources, I heard the fight never happened. Because if you think about it, the only people that really have talked about there being a fight have been the Bucks, Punk's Cap. Do we really know if they fought? But one funny thing that I guess is not really funny, like Kenny Omega is in Japan for the AEW video game. And there's right. like a there's a big bruise on his arm from what looks like a bite.
Yeah, they said it looked like a bite mark. I haven't seen pictures of it yet.
I saw it. It was like a big fucking bruise. Hello?
Hello.
All right. We're back.
Yeah, it's an easy fix.
Yeah, sorry, that's my fault. But Malachi Black came out and he pretty much said he really wished that conversations about his mental health and other stuff wouldn't have came out. And he like displayed a long list of stuff that's happened.
That's really personal shit, you know. Yeah.
He
should be leaking.
Well, like he put out there like what had happened to him, and dude, it's fucking crazy. Like,
happened?
I'll go back and look at the post. I'm sorry, I'm not. But like he talked about like a friend committed suicide. Somebody committed suicide. Somebody was sick. Another family member was this, and he was dealing with all this. And then, like,
right.
Cryptic in a way. Like he said, promises hadn't been fulfilled. I don't know if he was talking about WWE or AEW. He was at an independent show this past weekend. He did say that his future will be. We'll know the path of Malachi Black here in the next few weeks. But what was really weird about it all is that AEW trademarked or put in like a trademark for the House of Black. So if like, let's say he leaves AEW, AEW is going to have the trademark for the House of Black.
Well, they still have those two wrestling as House of Black. So with Julia Hart, so it could work out.
Is it going to be the same? I mean, I don't know.
It's not going to be the same. But I really enjoy them as a tag team.
Yeah, same here. One of the big news stories, I don't know if you heard this, and this is like really generating, like this really isn't where your specialty or what you like, but the business side of wrestling is that Warner Brothers, there's a rumor going out that in 2024, that Warner Brothers Discovery is going to be bought out by NBC Comcast. Now, if people are wondering, okay, what's the big deal? Well, what would be the big deal is, would NBC have both WWE and AEW under the same umbrella?
That's what I don't know. Would they do that?
I don't know. It seems really weird because, like, 2 days before that, a story came out where, like, one of the Warner Brothers higher up has said they want to go more towards wrestling themed kind of shows because of how well people, like a lot of people on wrestling Twitter, it cracks me up, they don't know shit about like ratings and things like that, but right. Like for what Warner Brothers is paying AEW, they are getting back so much in the demo. Like they hit such a high number in like the 18 to 39 and the 18 to 49 demo. Like the deal for Warner Brothers and AEW, I think right now is like $45 million a year. Could be $44 million, something like that. WWE gets $200 million a year, and they're like really close in a demo. So Brandon Thurston, who does a great podcast that I listen to every Sunday on WrestleNomics, they're on Patreon. They also have they're on Spotify and other stuff. Like he's projecting that like they could maybe get like a 5 times on what they're getting right now. So if you think about it, in the next, so like the WWE deal comes up in September of 2024. And the AEW deal comes up in December 2024. So it's really interesting to see what's going to happen. Like, would Time Warner and Discovery merge with NBC? And if so, what's going to happen with both brands? It's really weird. It's really crazy right now.
But right now, it's just a rumor, or is it a good possibility?
It's one of those things where, like, people who, like, study stocks and things like that and, like, TV like that. Because if you think about it, if AEW is getting $44 million a year, that's less than $1 million a week. The average sitcom costs way more than that, and you only get, like, 22 episodes. So, like, AEW is a bargain right now for Time Warner. So,
right.
We'll see. And it's going to be... What they get will be able to determine how they be able to sign like free agents and people like that. Because if you're Tony Khan and you're getting $45 million a year for a cable contract compared to $200 something million for a contract, that's a big deal. You could spend more money to get people.
I think Tony Khan could pay whoever he wanted, whatever he wanted.
Well, it's not Tony Khan paying. This is money they're getting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They get $45 million a year from TBS, TNT.
I got you now. Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. It's a crazy rumor right now. But when Time Warner merged with Discovery, they have like 50 billion in debt. It's like something crazy. So to get out of debt is to sell. So,
right.
It's a very interesting thing. We'll see what happens. But, Grand Slam is going to be this week. Tickets have not been like selling like crazy like they did last year. I think last year they sold like 20,000 people. I think this year right now they're like trending at like 13,000. So it'll be interesting to see how many people they get. Is it going to look sold out? Are they going to
like towards the end, if more people are going to buy, or if the economy probably has something to do with it?
Well, one thing that's like really weird, if like WrestleTix is a great like site on Twitter. They like post the seats, how people are like, how they sell seats and like distribution and like things like that. So it'd be interesting to see. It's also New York City, so a lot of times you get a lot of walk-ups. So
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And it's interesting right now. So that's about all I got in the news. But one thing I wanted to tell you, because you're such a Moxley fan, and I like Mox too. And I live here in Cincinnati where Mox does. And I have a buddy that I coach football with, and he always tells me, he's like, hey, Moxley, the big grocery store around here is Kroger.
Right. So okay.
He was like, Kroger. Hey. He was like, hey, Moxley goes to Kroger. And goes, I was like, oh my God. Well, let me know when he's there. I'll fucking hurry up and drive there. You know what I mean? Like, so today he texts me, Moxley, in downtown Cincinnati, we have Fountain Square. So he said, there, waiting for the bus to get to work or whatever. And John Moxley is just running around Fountain Square, getting his workout in. And he said he came by like the bus line where people were at. And he's like, people were like yelling, hey, it's Moxley. And he was like, hey, turn into AEW this week. I'm going to kick Bryan Danielson's ass and win the title. And like ran off. Like in a full sprint. So that's
John Moxley. Awesome.
Yeah, I wish I would have been there. Because when he texted me, I was like, dude, I'm at work right now. I can't leave. And he's like, no, he's just running downtown. So that was pretty cool. But
that is awesome.
Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much all I got until we get into what happened on this Dynamite. As you were starting to say before I interrupted you to talk about the news, and I'm sorry about that, it wasn't like the greatest Dynamite, but it was the highest rated Dynamite in over a year.
I saw that, and it wasn't bad either. That's the thing. It just didn't grab me by the balls, you know?
It was just, I don't know, it was weird. We're going to talk about it, but like, I don't like some of the booking they did, and that could just be me, but I don't know. Let's get into it.
It was strange, but well, it's Dynamite. And it starts off with the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions. Starts off with Moxley versus Guevara. Speaking of John Moxley.
Yeah.
And starts off with Sammy. He fires off some kicks in the corner. Then Mox hits an inside out clothesline. The match continues with Sammy. He's in control of the fight. He's taking it to the outside of the ring using the steel steps and the ring post to keep Mox down. Then during the pick and pick, I guess Mox turns it around, which I really don't watch the pick and pick. I tried to watch it this time, but it's just too distracting. I try. But this match goes back and forth between those two. And then we got Ty Mello and Anna Jay coming out. And Jay distracts the ref while Mello gets in the ring, and she kicks Moxley. It's supposed to be a kick from behind and between the legs.
Didn't even come close.
No, it looked like she just kicked his ass, and that was it.
Didn't even come close.
Yeah, so that was terrible. But Mox sells it anyway. He drops, and Sammy goes for the pin. Mox kicks out of it. Sammy goes for the GTH out of one time out of like three or four times he went for the GTH. But Mox reverses it. He hits the Death Rider, which looked really awkward again, for the win. This wasn't really surprising to me or that interesting. I'm sorry. I know Sammy Guevara is talented, but he's not at the right level for me.
Well, to what you're saying, to me, it was like when I see a Jon Moxley match, I'm going to see a slugfest. And when I see a Sammy Guevara, I'm going to see a high-flying match. In this match, the two didn't mix.
It didn't mesh well at all.
Did we really need the Melo and Anna Jay coming out? Like, it kind of ruined the match for me a little bit. And, like, she missed the kick. It was like...
I don't know how you could miss that. I just don't know.
Yeah, well, it's not having enough experience, and it's not... I don't think Moxley was ready yet. I think she did it way too early. I think maybe that's just her being, like, excited and, you know, the adrenaline rushing and things right. like that. But it was just... I mean, I get why they did the match, but it just... To me, it was bad, but... Moxley won, who is the right person to win, but...
Well, it was predictable. You knew Mox was going to win. You knew that. I mean, because if Sammy won, that would have just been ridiculous. Yeah.
But to me, whenever I see an AEW show, the first match is like a fucking banger. You know what I mean? A banger.
Right. Yeah. Usually it comes out of the gate. And this one was just.
And Moxley, yeah. And Moxley, I love Moxley. I love Jon Moxley. I know a lot of people give me shit because I talk. But I love Moxley. But his match is more of a. Down, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you. It's gonna be a wrestling match instead of a match with spots. And I don't think Moxley is the right person to put this match at the 9 o'clock hour, or maybe 9:30 would have been better, or even in the main event would have been better than being the first match.
Yeah, it was just awkward for me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
but I don't know if this was a main event match.
Okay, have it at 8:45. You know what I mean? I just don't...
Yeah.
To me, this just isn't the way that AEW kicks off Dynamite. That's just me. It kind of put me to sleep a little bit. And not to diss any of the performers, because that top rope cutter that Sammy did was cool. Some of the other things were cool, but it just didn't make the whole match to me.
Yeah, and I felt the same way pretty much. It was just a, I don't know. So, like I said, Sammy Guevara, he's great. He's really good at what he does. He's just never hooked me in completely.
I would have rather seen a Jon Moxley squash here, where he just kicks the shit out of him, beats the fuck out of him, gets the pin. Let's go on to the next thing.
Right. That would have been
instead of him trying to. It was kind of like Moxley trying to do Sammy. And it just didn't mix well, but I mean, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So after this, out comes MJF to a babyface reaction from the crowd.
I love MJF.
No matter what insult he throws out, the crowd was cheering. I was waiting. I'm like, how is he going to get heat with this crowd? And so MJF talks about Moxley. Says it's been 7 days he couldn't sleep because last week Moxley had no fear towards him, and that pisses him off. And he says that the same MJF that he was, he's not the same MJF that he was years ago, because he's not playing a character, and that Jon Moxley is playing a character. He continues to cut a promo on Moxley and tells Mox he read his book, and Mox is still a scared little boy that now is old enough he can drown his problems in alcohol like a worthless drunk. And that got heat.
Yeah.
Of course. And at least, you know, the crowd booed this, and he was getting them, you know, back to feeling a heel. But then he said Mox got sober and slayed his demons and beat his disease. MJF said his brain is more dangerous than any disease, and bad things happen when you get in MJF's way. And he talks on how when Mox came out of rehab, he talked about a demon and said if Mox does not tread lightly, he'll find out that he, meaning MJF, is that demon, and he's a demon Mox can't slay. Then he talks about a group of young gentlemen that helped him get the chip, and introduces a group and a man, and the man that he's known since he was 19 years old. And he goes on to introduce Stokely Hathaway and the Firm, as they're now going to be called. And Stokely then gets on the mic. He says MJF was disenfranchised and he was going to quit AEW. Stokely says that he told MJF, if you quit, you're going to give everybody exactly what they want, and it's time to get what you want. So they came up with a plan to put everyone that's in the ring, meaning the Firm, on retainer, which was interesting. Then he says that they are MJF's support system while they have opportunities for themselves. And when MJF doesn't need them, they'll simply go their separate ways. And he says he's not a publicist, a manager, or an assistant. He's a friend with connections. And some of you wish that you had a friend just like him. Everything he's done since Double or Nothing has been a lie, a con, etc. Says there's nothing better than good old-fashioned blackmail. He actually said, nothing turns me on more than old-fashioned blackmail, which I thought was a good line. And that's what wakes him up in the morning. Oh, that's what turns him on. Then he goes on to talk about what everyone in his stable wants. And he starts off with W. Morrissey. He says that Morrissey wants to do whatever he wants and that he appreciates him and loves him, and then gives him this hug, and Morrissey doesn't hug him back, and he walks in the microphone. He says, I said I love you. And Morrissey, I think he lips, I know I love you too, or something like that. And then it goes to Lee Moriarty. He says it's time for him to become a star and bring some honor back to the ROH Pure Championship. Then he goes to the Guns, and it's Austin and Colton. Ass Boys chant starts. He says they're not boys, they are men, and they're going for the tag team championship. He then addresses Ethan Page, who gets a pop from the crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see Ethan Page. We want to see Ethan Page. We know what Ethan Page can do, and they haven't shown him enough. I don't remember the last time he was in the match.
Yeah, it was on
Was it on a Rampage?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he needs to be shown.
Yeah.
And he says he wants to represent his beautiful country of Canada and win the All Atlantic Championship. That we are the Firm, and when you see us, you only have two options. You either run with us or run from us. Jason, what do you think of the Firm?
Oh my God. First, I want to say the MJF. I don't know how much longer you can make this man a heel. The crowd wants to cheer him.
Yeah, I know.
And this is one of my peeves with Tony Khan, is when somebody gets hot, then it seems like he cools them down, like Wardlow, FTR, people like this. Like, the fans want to cheer, and then all of a sudden they like go on hiatus for a while. It's really weird. So,
well, we got to say, Tony Khan, we know you're listening to this.
Yes.
You strike while the iron's hot. You don't cool it and then strike.
Yeah. Here's what I think is going to happen with that. I think MJF is going to cost Moxley the match with Danielson, and I think Danielson's going to win the title. We're going to see them split from the Blackpool Combat Club, and I think we're going to see Moxley and MJF feud after that.
It seems like that with the big speech he gave about the big promo he cut on Moxley. It seems like that's going to be his target.
Yeah, I don't think there's an outcome where we see Mox win and then them two fight for the title. I think we're going to see them two feud, and then it's going to warm MJF up, and then we'll see a title reign eventually. The whole firm thing, it's just really weird to me. It's like, okay,
they're a group, but they're not a group.
Well, my thing is, like, saying you're on retainer, so are you a fucking lawyer? Or what? Like, and then, like, I like how, like, the hug with Morrissey, it became like a meme on Twitter, which was really funny.
I didn't see it up. Usually I get a lot of those.
Oh, it was a meme all over the place. It was fucking hilarious. But, like, so, you say Lee Moriarty's gonna go for the ROH. Okay, whatever. Okay, so that means Garcia and Moriarty will be at the next ROH pay-per-view. Okay, I got that. So
I don't know if it's going to be immediate, though. Like, all of them are going to do it at once, because that would kind of be, I don't know. Well, it doesn't sound too spectacular.
To me, it seems like a stable that is meant to fail, because I don't see where Lee Moriarty is going to beat Daniel Garcia. I see the Acclaimed winning on Wednesday night the tag titles. I don't see where the Ass Boys are going to beat them for the title right away.
And no.
You asked me about Ethan Page. Ethan Page is a star. I said this like a while back on our podcast. I see Ethan Page in like 2 years being a world champion.
Oh, he could. Yeah, if he's booked right.
I don't see him beating Pac right away for the All-Atlantic. To me, it's like, if you're going to build up Ethan Page, it would be to go for the TNT title or something. But I think they're going to go Hobbs and Wardlow for that. So I guess maybe just for now, you're going to where, like, every member of the firm is going to lose in their matches. And then maybe the stable breaks up. Because
what was Morrissey's purpose? All of them had a purpose, but Morrissey was going to do what he wants to do. That was kind of weak. I was like, what? Everybody else had this purpose. What's that?
You can't go for the world title because we're already in a tournament. You can't really say the TNT title because, like I said, I think they're going towards a Wardlow and Hobbs feud. And then you got Paige and Pac for the All-Atlantic. So there's really not a title for Morrissey to go toward. So maybe it's just like him being an ass kicker for right now. But I don't see this like stable staying along for very long.
Well, they said that when they're no longer needed, they're going to go their separate ways.
I think they would have been a lot better if MJF stayed out with them while they talked. But I think he was getting such a babyface reaction that they had to have him leave, because there's not much longer that AEW cannot let MJF be a face. It's wrestling 101.
And he's good at being a face. We've seen it, and he's great at it.
Well, it's wrestling 101. The hotter you get as a heel, you eventually become a babyface. And the hotter you become as a babyface is usually when you turn heel. So I think MJF will be probably one of the biggest stars in this company coming up in the next 6 to 8 months.
I see it happening, and I could see that. I don't know if they're going to. I really hope that they do change him face. Well,
the crowd was chanting his name when he was dogging them.
Yeah, like, they were cheering every insult he had of calling fat disgusting slobs. Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd wants to cheer MJF. Let them do it.
Exactly. The only heat he got was off of that alcohol comment, which was a low thing and to do. Which he needs to continue. He needs to continue doing things like that if he wants to get heat.
But like, he didn't even get that much heat. It was like a little boo. It wasn't like a big boo.
Yeah, it wasn't, and that was odd too.
They want to cheer him. They want a baby face. They want MJF. I think that's where they were gonna go until Punk got hurt and then did what he did. Because he's going to be out for 8 months. But I think when Punk comes back in 8 months, that's going to be a hell of a feud.
Yeah, and Punk is probably more likely to be the heel.
Yes.
It would work out beautifully, I think. But next, we had a short video package about Jungle Boy and Jay Lethal, this is just basically a weak attempt at building this match.
It was stupid.
It had made no sense to me. It was basically Jungle Boy puts an open challenge out, and Sanjay Dutt gets pissed off and says, "Okay, you want an open challenge? You face Lethal." It was horrible build-up. So nobody was really into this match. It was a decent match, but nothing really too exciting for these guys.
I see Jay Lethal every week, and I see Jay Lethal getting beat every week.
Exactly. They're booking him. We think he's a loser at this point, you know?
Yeah. And Jay Lethal's really good.
Yeah, Jay Lethal is awesome. I mean, I've watched
him. But he never wins.
Yeah. They need to look back on his TNA days and his ROH days, for that matter.
Because but I get what they're doing. I get what they're doing. They're trying to book Jungle Boy. I get it, because he's gonna fight Luchasaurus probably at Full Gear, so they're gonna draw it out. But like, this match just did nothing for me at all.
No, there was a few points. I mean, Jungle Boy goes for the kill switch, interestingly enough, after a reversal. Then Lethal turns this into a lethal combination, putting Jungle Boy to the outside, and Jungle Boy did a perfect suicide dive.
Yeah.
That was awesome, but it was nothing else too special. Jungle Boy won the match by submission with the snare trap.
Yeah.
And the snare trap didn't even put on very hard.
Yeah, you're not going to get much more from me. I zoned out during this. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't sell me. They didn't sell me.
There was no reason to get into this match.
Yeah, I agree.
After this, we had a video package with Action Bronson and Hook, and a short promo about their match against Matt Menard and Angelo Parker now. I'm interested in this.
That's going to be on Rampage.
Yeah, I wish it. Well, they're kind of making... They're making Hook a star on Rampage, but they need to be booking him on Dynamite.
Well, what they're doing is what they did last year, and they're doing the same thing this year. At Grand Slam, they did a 2-hour Rampage, and they did a 2-hour Dynamite, so...
Yeah, they're going to do that again.
Yeah, the card is stacked. It's a nice card, so we'll see how they do. But I'm interested.
It's the same show, though. Like, if you buy a ticket, it's the same show, right?
Yeah. That's the thing. That New York crowd is going to see, 5 hours of wrestling. So let's see how they hold up during Rampage.
Yeah, we'll see if they can keep the momentum going enough to keep the crowd interested. It'll be an interesting show. Backstage, we have Alex Marvez. He's interviewing some clown named Luigi.
Oh, he's an internet sensation.
I've seen it. Yeah, I don't know. It's stupid.
It was stupid.
I mean, he plays a stereotypical Italian pizza maker, but the good part was Ethan Page super kicks him. Says he's doing what nobody else does around here. And taking things seriously. Something to that effect. I paraphrase.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Danhausen steps in. Page says he's going to take the Jester off AEW this Friday on Rampage. Danhausen says, "Go get that Jester," and then looks puzzled and realizes it's him. Yeah. I like how he calls him Egon.
Yeah.
that's from his YouTube stuff, so he always calls him Egon.
Yep.
So, nothing I'm too hyped up about there. We got a video package with Matt Hardy challenging Darby Allin. I have zero interest in this match.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I watched it, and I wasn't, like you said earlier, I zoned out.
Jeff Hardy's coming back soon.
You know what Matt Hardy needs? He needs to go broken again.
Well, Jeff Hardy's coming back. They just it was reported.
Both of them need to be their broken characters. That's when the Hardys were at their very best, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. But Hardy will be back soon. Jeff Hardy.
That'll be interesting. Matt needs to step it up in the ring.
Yeah, not impressive at all.
No, I mean, I don't know if he's just got so many injuries that he can't move right or...
Yeah. We need to get this last Hardy run in and out and on to better things.
Yeah, definitely. And have him manage, have him produce. I mean, can you imagine having those guys behind the scenes at AEW? Be great.
Yeah, be perfect.
But we got Powerhouse Hobbs versus Matt DiMartino. It's a squash match, and it's two moves.
That's all it needed to be. This was perfect. Yeah.
And then Hobbs gets on the mic. The crowd chants, "We want Ricky." Hobbs says that All Out, I defeated Ricky Starks. He said, "Ricky is tough. I spent 21 months with Ricky grinding, but at All Out, it only took 4 minutes and 29 seconds for me to beat him." And Hobbs's mouth is bleeding from something. I didn't see what he did to make his mouth bleed in the ring.
It was when he hit the spine buster, or he hit himself when I came up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that again.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Hobbs, now he says, what did he say? He said, "But who's counting? Now that the chapter is done with Ricky Starks, it's time to open a new chapter in the Book of Hobbs." And I like that. The Book of Hobbs.
I like it too.
He needs to use that. And then Starks walks through the crowd. He jumps in the ring, fights with Hobbs, and he decides he's going to hit him with the mic, and Hobbs retreats. And I like how Taz on commentary just now says, "Look, he busted him open."
I didn't like this, and I didn't like the ending. I liked the Hobbs squash. Okay, so you had Starks come out.
Which I thought we were done with Starks.
Exactly. What are we doing here? Hobbs just beat him in 4 minutes. So what are we doing here? There doesn't need to be another match. You need to have Hobbs move on. You need to have Starks move on. Because if Starks beats him in a second match, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Because why? Why? Move on.
No sense. And I I'm not interested in this match now. We've seen it.
Starks is a star.
Move. Yeah, we need to. On. Put him up. We need to put him up to world champion.
Yes.
Tender status.
He would be a perfect first opponent for a heel, Bryan Danielson. They would put on a banger.
Oh, it would be so good.
I don't need to see Hobbs and Starks again. I don't need to see it. Move on.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt through this. And it's one of the things that took this down a notch, you know, this Dynamite. But next we had the Lucha Brothers, Penta El Zero Muerto, Rey Fénix with Alexandre Hontas versus Swerve in Our Glory, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. It's a good match. And at one point it's Lee and Fénix in the ring. Fénix delivers some real hard chops to Lee. Lee's no-sells those, and he delivers that signature double chop. It just echoed on Fénix in this instance, and that struck me. Fénix delivers a double chop. Fine. This, another reason we need to move off of the phone and onto the computer. But
exactly. I got an Amber Alert, so I hope the kid gets found. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's never any good. But we left off with who was it? It was
Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix.
Right. He delivered a Spanish Fly. off of Swerve's back, and then Penta leaps, delivering a huge destroyer to Lee. This is when the match was starting to pick up.
And yeah, that was badass.
Yeah, and then Keith Lee hits an AA-type move on the Penta and gets the win, just like that. That's at the point where the match was just getting good.
It didn't make no sense. I hated this match. I thought it was stupid. How are you going to have a title match the week before the Acclaimed versus Swerve and Our Glory? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why does Penta and Ray Phoenix get a title match? Why? You have fucking rankings that FTR have been the fucking top tag team for like 5 months. I don't get it at all.
And I know your frustration, because that was one of the main points about AEW. When AEW was very first starting, that was one of the main things. They're like, ratings will matter. I heard them say it over and over again.
And they don't. They don't matter.
Yeah, they don't. And they need to start making it matter, or just do away with rankings then.
No, it's the rankings don't matter. Where you pick your own storylines. And
we don't want that.
I get where you can send people to Dark and Elevation and get like 35 wins for Ruby Soho before she got, I get all that. That's cool though. Put her in the rankings as a top five person. But
exactly.
If they're not a top five tag team, why Penta and Phoenix's tag team record this year has been the shits. So yeah, why the fuck do they get a tag team? They're already the trio champion. Why do they need a tag team champion match?
Well, part of it was before this match too. It was Pac telling them, go do what I did and get double titles. And it's like,
but they're not ranked.
No, I don't want to. And I didn't want to see this match, honestly.
Yeah, it pissed me off. It pissed me off.
I didn't want to see Ray Phoenix and Penta lose again.
Yeah, it just makes them look bad. It was just, I don't get it. I don't understand the logic. The logic for this booking and the women's tag team match makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that.
I got to vent about that because I'm pissed off about that.
Well, then we have James' music hits, and out they come, and Max Caster gets on the mic, cutting a mean promo on him about Grand Slam.
Oh yeah.
I love Max Caster. I love the Acclaimed.
They're stars. They are stars.
They are. And Alex Marvez is backstage with Pac, and he says he's trying to get a word with the Lucha Brothers, who hit a bump in the road, and Pac cuts a promo on him, saying to put some respect on Death Triangle's name and mind your own business. And then we see Pac get punched in the face by who turns out to be Orange Cassidy. Cassidy picks up the mic and says, double champion, huh? Not for long.
So
we're going to see Pac and Orange Cassidy again.
But why? You just had a segment earlier on your television show where Stokely Hathaway said that Ethan Page is going for the All-Atlantic Championship. And then an hour later, Orange Cassidy's fighting for the title?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It is going to be a great match. Those two together are gold.
Okay, and but
I get why they... I get the logic behind that, but we've seen this match, though.
You're going to have Ethan Page go for it if you're going to have another wrestler later on in the evening say they're going for it?
I think they need to build up Ethan Page. They need to build him back up.
No, this was stupid.
Yeah, it was Orange Cassidy. Like I said, again, we've seen it. It is going to be a great match.
I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying, where's the logic? I know you had them two talking the other night on Dynamite, going back and forth or whatever, but, and it's probably going to get a pop at the Grand Slam, but where's that leave you at the page?
I don't want to see Orange Cassidy lose again either.
Well, he's going to lose, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it's apparent that he is. And that's another thing. This is getting a bit predictable.
Yep, too predictable.
Yeah. Well, next, we have your favorite match of the night. Serena Deeb and Britt Baker, DMD, versus Athena and Toni Storm. This was not an overwhelmingly impressive match.
It didn't make any sense to have your champion, who just won, lose a tag team match to set up a four-way at Grand Slam. Like, there was no other way.
In this match,
there's no other way. There's no other way to set this match up besides Serena Deeb and Britt Baker using a chair to beat Toni Storm. That's, like, this is some WWE shit right here. And it's fucking stupid, and they do the women wrong, and it's fucking dumb. And I hate it. It makes no fucking sense. It's fucking stupid.
I agree with you on that, because Serena Deeb and Britt Baker, all the talent that's in this ring, this should be an amazing fucking match.
It should have been like a count out or like a disqualification or something. But to have your champion lose,
you got to protect the champion.
She just won the belt. She just won the belt. She beat Penelope Ford in a fucking stupid contenders match, and then you have her lose by them cheating. Fucking
yeah,
stupid.
Well, what happened for our fans?
As Jim Cornette would say, easy booking.
Yeah. Well, how it ended, guys, was Deep threw Toni into the corner. Baker's holding a chair, and she gives it to Deep. And they use the chair, and that's the opportunity to roll up Storm for the win. And that's what we're talking about.
And then you have Hayter come out trying to fight for Baker, but then she hits Storm with the chair.
Yeah. So after the match, Athena tries for like revenge on them using the chair. Storm's still out, and they're outnumbered. Britt grabs a chair, then Jamie Hayter comes down the ramp, takes the chair away from Baker, pauses, hits Storm in the gut with it, then over the back with it, and then Hayter and Baker are still arguing. Jamie looked angry, and Britt's sitting there saying I'm sorry to her.
Stupid.
They're taking women with immense talent.
Yeah.
And just dragging them through the mud right now.
Tell me you're going to tell CM Punk and MJF and Moxley and Danielson, and they're going to have a tag match where this finish happens. They're going to tell you to shut your ass.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But yet, we do it for the women, and it makes no fucking sense. It's fucking stupid. I don't get it.
Toni Khan, what you need to do is book these women right. They should be booked like gold.
Yeah, it makes no sense, bro. Makes no sense.
So, yeah, after that, backstage, we have Smart Mark Sterling. He's with Josh Woods and Tony Nese, cutting a promo on Wardlow, then issuing a challenge to Samoa Joe for the ROH TV title on Rampage. So I didn't get why there was a promo on Wardlow and then they focused on Samoa Joe real quick.
Yeah, well, because they made Joe and Wardlow a tag team on Rampage, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. See, basically what these promos in between matches are just promos for Rampage, usually.
Yeah, and people aren't watching Rampage, so why are you doing it?
It's a formula. They try and build up a few matches on Rampage through these promos. And if we don't care about them, we don't care about them. So book Rampage however you want. Just book Dynamite to be Dynamite, have it have something to do with Dynamite.
I agree.
Because nobody really is caring when they're watching Dynamite. That's what they want to see. They don't care about Rampage. Sure, you can promote it at the end. Say, here's our matches for Rampage.
Yeah, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, it's just all, it's formulaic at this point.
Yeah.
And it's expected. And, you know, we have the baby face with the heel walking in every time, like we like to joke about. It's just,
yeah.
Pick it up.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a prelude to our main event, which is the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions semifinal match.
Great match.
Yeah, Chris Jericho versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. It's a highly charged technical matchup. It does not disappoint. Although this match started with a slower pace, like it had that methodical feel to it.
Yeah.
And it begins to pick up and it turns into an instant classic.
Yeah.
My only complaint is the picture in picture once again.
Yeah.
And Regal just struck me. He said something, I really don't like Chris Jericho, but he's tough as old boots.
Yeah. Regal's amazing.
I love him on commentary.
Regal, I could listen to Regal. He has a great podcast too.
I love his comments to Man in the Mask. You Buttercup, yeah. I'd like to take your petals off and rub them all over. Yeah, like, I'm eccentric. I can get away with it.
He has a podcast on Conrad Thompson's stable podcast called The Gentleman's Something. I forget, but it's so good. But
find out what it is, and I'll listen to it.
It's like I'll get the full title of it. But this was such a great match, and I can see why it did such a great rating. Like, it started out as just a classic wrestling match, and what I found weird was going into this match, Bryan Danielson was 0-4 versus Chris Jericho in his career, and
yes, and they mentioned that on commentary. Yeah.
They fought in ROH, I think, and I think they fought somewhere else. And you know, he's won the last couple matches here.
Didn't they fight? Did they fight in WWE?
No, they never fought in WWE. Nope, never.
That is amazing that they never did.
They were really there the same times. Like, it seemed like when Danielson was on his high, Jericho was gone doing Fozzy, and then whenever he came back, Danielson would be in a feud with somebody else. But it's a great match. Like, if you love professional wrestling, you love this match. It was just so good. The right guy won. I really hope they put the belt on Danielson.
I do too. And I liked when Jericho was attacking Danielson flips over. There's a failed like suplex attempt by Jericho, and Danielson lands his leg weird and he's selling the ankle.
Oh yeah.
Just how Jericho attacks the ankle, rips off like his kick pad.
Yeah.
Puts a figure four on the ring post. It gave it that drama that you want in the match. It seems like
Danielson gives you a reason every match to worry about his health.
Yeah.
And it's like he's like laughing at us, like, haha, you care how I feel. So it's just great storytelling, great match.
He reversed the figure four and turned it into a LaBelle lock.
Yeah.
It was like so fluid how he did it.
Well, Danielson is the best professional wrestler in the world. There's, if you want to argue that, you can kiss my ass, because there's nobody better. There's nobody better.
I'm in agreement with, everybody agrees with that. It's
yeah,
he's the best.
You think that he's dying from a, you know, because he's had concussions. You think his ankle's hurt because he takes off his boot, and then Jericho comes. And Jericho, like, started slamming his foot down and then took it to the ring post and started slamming it. It was just so good. This was everything you could want in professional wrestling.
This saved the show.
Oh, it did for me. It did for me. Definitely.
Yeah. I forgot about all the bad stuff about the show, and really,
to me it was like it was like a really weird Dynamite where like they tried to focus a lot on like, it was like they were trying to build a Grand Slam, but there was like so many like weird promos.
Yeah, they were out of place.
Yeah. The
promos were all out of place. They, like I said, they're either hyping up Rampage or something doesn't make sense here.
Well, they're trying to get Rampage built up because they're trying to build it up. I get that. Because you had Claudio and Jericho go at it on Rampage, and you had some other good stuff that happened. You know, Wardlow and Samoa Joe are now a tag team and things like that. That's cool. But this was the highest rated Dynamite in over a year. I'm very interested to see what this Dynamite does plan. Because every match that's like been advertised is a title match.
Yeah. So, I think it's gonna be a great show.
It will be because they're gonna pull out all the stops. You got Danielson and Moxley, you got Cassidy and Pac, you got Acclaim versus Swerve in Our Glory, you got the 4-way women's title match. What's the other title match that I'm forgetting? I don't know. There's another one. But anyway.
We got Mox versus Danielson.
You got Mox Danielson, you got Acclaim versus Swerve in Our Glory. You got the 4-way women's match.
Do we have Wardlow?
I don't think. No, it's Wardlow and Joe on Rampage.
Oh, okay. So they're not part of the Dynamite show again.
Pac versus Cassidy. So that's 4. Oh, Jade Cargill's fighting some chick I've never heard of.
Oh, see.
But apparently she has like some like big YouTube following or something. So like they keep going.
Here's my problem with Jade Cargill. She's ran through the whole roster already. Who's she have left?
It's some chick I've never heard of, but she has like some big like YouTube following or something.
Okay, so they're hitting off of the YouTube audience then.
Yeah. Jade Cargill's money, though. She does great ratings whenever she's on there. So, but those are the 5 matches I know for Grand Slam. I forgot. Also on Grand Slam is Claudio versus Jericho for the ROH title.
Yeah. I almost forgot. Why did I forget about that?
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting Grand Slam. So
it is. I hope that people enjoy it and appreciate it.
For what it is, I agree. So who was your wrestler of the night?
My wrestler of the night's Bryan Danielson, easy.
You know what? I would go that way, but you know, I'm going to surprise the people. I'm going to go Moxley just because the match didn't make sense and it didn't really work, but he still made it work. If that makes sense?
Hey, yeah. Mox can do a lot. I mean,
but my overall rating was probably like a 3, 3.5.
I rated it a 3 chair shot.
Yeah.
There was good matches, but there was things in between, like you said, that didn't make sense.
To me, it didn't seem like a Dynamite that flowed like usual.
There you go. It didn't have a flow to it.
Usually a Dynamite, you like start out hot, then you kind of go down, then you kind of go back up, like peaks and valleys. This one to me just kind of stayed the same pace, and maybe that works for him. I don't know. It did a great rating.
Do you think Tony Khan consults people about his booking, or
I do not. I think because this is one of the things that Cornette said whenever like Tony Khan came to him. He said that I'm the final straw. I make the decisions. I'm going to book the matches. He might listen to people, but I think at the end of the day, it's Tony Khan's show and he's going to book who he wants. And it kind of goes to my point to where like Malakai Black's not happy and he says there was a lot of empty promises. I'm sure when he signed Tony or Malakai Black, he told him, you know, the world championships in your future, but then you sign CM Punk, you sign Adam Cole, you sign Bryan Danielson, you sign this person, sometimes those promises can't be made. I mean, where the fuck is Muro on this TNT, on this Dynamite? Where is FTR? Where is... I don't understand. You have such hot acts. Use them. Even if it's in a... Where was FTR? FTR wasn't on this show.
Tony Khan needs to open his mind a little, get out of that mindset that, oh, it's the final straw with
well,
me.
Here's
because
the thing.
I think Tony Khan
listened to wrestlers when they said, we never get time off. It's a 365, day work calendar for us. We get burnt out. So he thinks that by, rotating up, he does well for them. But FTR was so hot. Keep them going. Wardlow was getting Goldberg-like chants. Instead of Hobbs beating somebody in 2 minutes, it should have been Wardlow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought about that, incidentally, about the Hobbs squash match.
It was really weird. And I'm a punk homer. Wardlow. But unless you're John Moxley, Chris Jericho, or CM Punk, you're not regularly on the show. And that doesn't help business. Wardlow needs to be out there all the time. FTR needs to be out there all the time.
We like to talk about the casuals. Well, if the casuals are going to watch next week, they're going to watch the guy that they saw the week previously, and they want to see what happens. They don't want somebody out of the blue to come up.
No, I agree.
Who's this? Some guy off of Dark or something, you know?
Yeah, they're not. I agree. Nope. You hit the nail on the head. You have to put out the people that are stars on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it doesn't work the way he's doing. That's why I wonder, is he even open to suggestion? I mean,
I hope so, but I don't think he is. And I think
he's going to be his own downfall. I mean,
I agree. Yeah. Yep.
Tony, if you're listening, chill and listen to other people.
Well, here's the thing. Tony Storm, people cheer for. But you have her in a match where two heels needed a fucking steel chair to beat her. She just got crowned and you already have her losing. It's fucking stupid.
I wonder where he gets his ideas from sometimes.
I don't know. I it doesn't make no sense.
And I just wonder if he even listens to people, because I know he's got a lot of talent underneath him, a lot of experienced talent. Hell, go to Regal and say, what should I do in this match? Yeah. You know?
I agree. Well, I think we'll find out a lot after this Dynamite at Grand Slam.
I'm excited for Grand Slam.
I am too.
I really, it's going to be a good show, and I am going to watch the Rampage portion of it as well, because there's some great matches on there. I want to see Hook and...
So we're going to have to do a mega cast next week, huh?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're going to have to find them.
Hopefully next week we can be on laptop computers.
Yeah, I'm working on that. Me and technology used to be really great friends. And then I didn't have a laptop for a long time, and I get one and everything's changed.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll try to get mine fixed. We'll get it figured out. So.
Yeah. I have the app. I'll give you the app info and everything, and we could work on it together.
All right, sounds good. If you want to, K123 on Twitter, Jason Wayne Block Sr. on Facebook, also on the Unscripted Violence page, where we have had a lot of people this week.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody that supports us. We love you guys. Where can they find you at?
They can find me on Twitter at StaggerLee777 or just simply Staggered Lee on Facebook. Reach administrator also as well on Unscripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk.
Hey, so am I.
Yeah, you are too. So yeah, they can get a hold of us there too.
Hit us up. Let's talk wrestling. Let's do it.
Yeah, post what your thoughts are. I post a couple funny things. Did you see my Ric Flair post?
I did see that. He's going to make a lot of money off that.
Smoking a joint with Mike Tyson.
Hey, well, he has a new Ric Flair drip. Cannabis.
Yeah.
So.
Ric Flair drip. I was just like, that cracked me up.
It's hilarious. It's good stuff. But.
I mean, post stuff like that, guys. We love you all. Thank you for joining the group. Thanks for giving us a listen. Keep continuing to listen because we'll continue to grow, and you just make us that much better.
And just think, sooner or later, you're going to see our ugly mugs on TV.
Yes. Yeah.
You're going to win. Hey, I'm fucking ugly, bro. I'm just gonna say, I mean, I'm cute, but like, you know, in a hairy way. But anyway, bro, I love you, my best friend. Thank you. I'm going to like spam you tomorrow night. Oh, no, wait a minute. I keep thinking it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
We usually record on Monday. On Wednesday night, I'm going to spam you with what's going on during Dynamite. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Good night, bro.
Good night.